All right, call back into order. Did anybody else have anything on the PFSI? Okay, went through 86 pages there. We are now on safety and hazard. This one could be fun also.
I'm sure.
Fire away,
sir. I'm sure you have plenty of information for us, which is great. safety and hazards, this is another one that Rincon Consultants did. They really specialize in this, as well as environmental issues. We wanted to talk about, obviously, emergency preparedness, response, and recovery, different hazard types, so geologic hazards, severe weather, rock falls and avalanches, floods, fires, hazardous materials. We also included noise within this section, air quality, and greenhouse gases. So it's a lot, obviously, and I'd love to get into it.
Okay.
All right. Begin with, where's my first yellow? Got OES. Law enforcement. So this is more maybe procedural is not the right term. Under emergency access and evacuation, SAF-4 is where it begins, bottom of the page, and then it continues to SAF-5. There is a one paragraph description of what, on a quick snapshot, is there. My question is it appropriate to also list in here, and I'm trying to get the right name for it, essentially it's the fire FAPS, fire access permits program, which we have developed here in Siskiyou County, which is cooperative between CAL FIRE, U.S. Forest Service, Sheriff's Department, City Police Departments, Siskiyou County Cattlemen, Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, where we have a process where if I've got cattle in a fire area, I have my permit in my wallet, I show up to the roadblock, show the permit with the truck and trailer, and I can go in and either provide feed, water, or load them and evacuate them. Is that something that we need to include in this? Do we also need to include that, you know, our county OES, along with Farm Bureau and Cattlemen in the state of California, and our 10th District Association of Fairs, we have a partnership. We have locations where evacuees can go with livestock, with pets, with people.
Yeah.
I think noting that as evacuation point centers and like interjurisdictional collaboration on that is important to note. I think the permit that you're discussing, since it is Siskiyou County specific, should be listed, and it might even fall under the regulatory arm under local.
Right, and other counties have done it also, but we were one of the first counties that got it implemented on the ground.
That should be a natural addition, because it'll most likely make its way into a reaffirming policy in the general plan beyond the background report.
That's why I brought it up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then one other along with that.
Yeah.
Is there's a kind of unique to Siskiyou Shasta County, but there's a group called the NorCal Fire Cooperative, mm-hmm. and it's a group of landowners, timber landowners.
Okay. Sure.
That take all of our managed lands, and we've hired our own battalion chief for emergency response, and he's a liaison with like the incident command whenever there's an incident command system that comes here, so that we can make sure that all of our maps, roads, gates, critical infrastructure, as well as whenever there's a fire on or around our lands,
right.
we are out there on the fire daily, helping with directing crews, opening gates, figuring out where they should put dozer lines in. So I don't know if that wants to be mentioned, but I just wanted to bring it up because we do have that here in Siskiyou County, and that has been kind of critical with keeping the size of our fire small.
I think that would be important. I actually don't think that should be noted at the safety and hazard element. I almost think that would be noted in the services, the PFSI element, under fire, and listed under that, because they're an additional resource during emergencies like that, where the safety section here is just talking about like the fire itself and more mitigation of the wildfire, where the actual firefighting and who does, you know, plays an active role in that should be under the PFSI. So that's where I'd recommend that goes.
Okay.
If we can make a note of that.
So NorCal Fire Cooperative.
Yeah. And if you have any additional information that would be pertinent for a description, pass it on to county staff, and then we can fold that into that section.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be very helpful.
We can also cross-reference it here, too. We might not get into a full discussion, but under fire hazards, we can cross-reference back to the PFSI.
Do a link.
Yeah, read more about that here.
Yep. Okay. I note on SAF 5, under the emergency water supply, there's a paragraph devoted to what has happened in the Klamath, the disappearance of the reservoirs, and a plan to create new sources for the helicopters to access, tanking crews, pump out of. If we're going to give attention to what's hopefully going to happen there, I think we should also include a paragraph. I know in the Scott GSP is to create, develop, and build surface storage within Scott Valley as part of SGMA. But it is noted within the GSP, the additional reason for that is because knowing that we may be limited with access to the river and other ponds, it would serve as a location for Cal Fire, Forest Service, etc., to have geographically closer sources of water for fighting fire.
Okay.
I don't know if the Shasta GSP is the same. I haven't seen the others. I was solely focused on the Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But you might want to take a look, whether it be the Butte GSP, Butte Valley GSP, and the Shasta GSP, see if they have similar, and which they would be noted as well. Might also include in there is a concerted effort to get U.S. Forest Service to increase the elevation of the outlets for at least 7 of the upland lakes in the Shasta Trinity and in the Klamath, particularly Marbles, and I think 1 in the Russians, to increase the depth so that it's safer for the helicopter crews to come in and pull water for fighting fire. That should also probably be mentioned there. If we're gonna give attention to Klamath, let's be complete.
Okay.
Yeah. I just have a question. Do you know how to decipher this figure 9.1, this earthquake shaking potential? It's not real intuitive to me on how it's...
Which you...
It's figure 9.1 on page SAF 8. So, I assume if I'm looking at shaking potential, that the areas that are the lightest yellow... says 25 to 40% have a lower probability of having significant shaking, Whereas like the dark gray, almost black, you know, at 100% has a high intensity of shaking. And I was just wondering how that is, because my naivete was surprised to see that like the area around Mount Shasta doesn't have like a high shaking.
It's most likely due to proximity to faults.
Oh, to the
and active faults. So
okay, got
you're
it,
seeing
got
the
it.
Darker colors move toward the coast, which is not a surprise.
Because of the subduction. Yeah, got it.
But okay. Then you have Scott Valley that has the dark point.
And that's due to liquefaction.
Back in the late 70s, we had one that rolled me out of bed, out of my bunk bed.
Well, in the valley, well, in your
that
valley.
Was in 76, I think.
Your valley floors, the soil is more conducive to liquefaction, so the shaking potential is going to be magnified in those areas. So that's why you'll notice your valley spots light up pretty dark.
I should know better about geology, about the fault lines. But I just wasn't thinking that, because I was just thinking.
Liquefaction, though, is key, because if you think about it, if you've ever slept in an RV at the Tule Lake Fairgrounds, every time the train goes by on the track, the RV just shakes. So it's literally like an earthquake, but it's just conducive through the ground because of its makeup. That train going by shakes the heck out of you.
But I will note the text that references this figure is pretty vague, and we scrolled up to look at that real quick just to confirm, and it doesn't give much description. So I think that there's some need to beef it up.
Yeah, we can. I saw once a graph that a 4-point on the Richter scale, or a 5-point, is so many times greater than a 4-point. What do you know what that is? How that?
I don't know offhand. It's
100 times.
It does 100-fold each time the magnitude goes up.
Yeah.
Up between like the like a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. In the landslide section, as we think in terms of planning specifically for public health and safety and having access, ingress, egress to a number of our communities, Happy Camp, Syad, Soames, Sawyer, Cecil, with as it's noted in here with the wildfires creating a higher potential. I realize this is in the background report. How do you foresee the general plan for the next 30 years that we're getting in front of us? How do you see implementing planning processes to guide us with projects as it pertains specifically to landslide susceptibility in these areas? Have you dealt with that in other counties before where you've come up with recommendations, hey, in this section of the general plan, recommend A, recommend B? We've got the background, but how do we take what we know to be the case to guide us into the future?
Well, I mean, certainly the most basic level would be having policies that restrict growth in certain areas that are dangerous, right? So that would be like the absolute starting point, the highest levels, just decide where landslides are such a hazard that we shouldn't be planning development there, right? But then there's all kinds of unique things that you need to figure out that you want to do through your policies. Like, how do we want to react to potential hazards? What do we need in a case of a potential hazard? And you could start putting in policies to guide development decisions related to that. You know, without understanding completely your situation, it's hard to give you a concrete, you know, what are we going to do? But knowing where they're acceptable, where the resources are, where the resources need to be, you know, is the starting point for starting to create policy.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yeah.
We currently do have a geologic hazard layer in the general plan that regulates where development can occur based off of the Mount known and potential landslide hazard areas. So I would expect that we would continue that and bring it up to date based off of what's required for new general plans.
And I hear and I understand what you're saying. I guess I look at it, we have individuals that may be multi-generational in some of these areas. And my concern isn't so much risk of landslide where we would develop, it's the risk of landslide due to poor public lands management that is presenting a safety issue for ingress, egress, in and out of these communities in the winter during another bad fire. It's not so much the development or the building, it's getting in to provide service or being able to get out to evacuate, and how we look at that in terms of planning, because that'll bring in some cases it's going to be County Public Works, in some cases it may be the state on 96. How do we address these within the general plan to ensure that these communities have multiple points of ingress egress?
And that's a major point of the safety element of the general plan, specifically is, you know, evacuation routes and points of ingress and egress and how people get to places during an event.
Okay.
So that would be heavily discussed in that.
I just know with everything that's happened on 101,
yeah.
96, it's at the forefront of my brain, and I see where,
okay. Well, and state law requires evacuation route planning to be incorporated in a general plan. You can't get around that. There's also new state law which requires neighborhoods and subdivisions to have multiple points of access. That's moving forward as well. I think a lot of the items that you're bringing up due to land management leading to, you know, potential issues with, let's say, a rock slide or landslide, is that's getting down to very specific Siskiyou County issues, which I think can be teased out through policy, but that's going to be a big discussion when we're actually drafting the element. That's going to, you're not going to find that in every jurisdiction. So that's something that we'll have to work with county staff and then other agencies that would have a role in associating with that topic.
Okay.
Then, I had this one flagged also. On the landslide hazard discussion, is this a boilerplate language that came in here, or
what page are you on?
SAF 9, bottom of the page, existing and future conditions, landslide hazard. That very first paragraph. I'm going to say it creates my blood temperature and pressure to rise.
And we don't want to do that, though.
Are there specific instances in Siskiyou County where any of you can tell me with definitive knowledge that extensive irrigation has caused a landslide, that excessive groundwater withdrawal has caused a landslide, that logging has been more of an influence than has catastrophic wildfire because of the lack of logging?
I would say that first paragraph does seem generalized. Just reading that, I'm not sure. Some of those instances I don't think necessarily apply.
That last sentence I like. Vegetation loss after wildfires, you could insert in there due to lack of public lands management, combined with heavy rain events and snow events, exacerbate landslide susceptibility in Siskiyou County.
I think there's ways to trim that back and to modify it to reflect what you're discussing.
Yep.
Bring a large paring knife when you. Thank you.
Yeah,
my point has been.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Through the chair.
Yes.
And then also, too, one thing with landslide hazard is, you know, sometimes it's just, this is only focusing on, like, anthropogenic causes of landslide, but we're looking at, like, the baseline condition. A lot of it's just our geomorphology in this area, you know, especially the Siskiyous. We're inverted.
Right.
It's going to come down. And so I would look at, you know, if we're just trying to paint the narrative of the existing condition, don't just focus on anthropogenic causes, but do it, you know, we've got high peak flows, stream erosion, you know, topography, soil type. I mean, there's so many factors.
Sure, sure.
Outside of just, you know, human influence. But yeah, I definitely agree that, you know, activities such as logging, if I'm causing mass landslides, I'm going to jail in California if I'm doing that in forestry. Like, literally, I could go to jail for 2 years. So that can't happen. Furthermore, under that same section, but
can you get into the last sentence that I want to take this guillotine to?
Yeah, I would strike that last sentence, at least the first part of the last sentence.
Of the second paragraph?
Second paragraph, last sentence.
It's on SAF 10, very top of the page, beginning as... It basically is saying, as climate change exacerbates the severity of wildfires, no. And increases extreme precipitation. I'm sorry, in Siskiyou County,
we've not had
if
that.
If you chart back since snowpack and rain has been measured, we haven't had any extremes, notable extremes, in the last 5 or 10 years any more than we did back in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
Yeah. I mean, in our wildfire fire severity is directly correlated to fuels.
Okay.
Theory. You know,
when fire was used as a tool by the Indians, you didn't have catastrophic wildfires. As soon as the government, in its infinite wisdom, took fire away as a tool, you ended up having increased fuel loads. And then when lightning hits, you've got to stop it, or it becomes catastrophic, because you've taken the tool of fire away.
Yeah, we have too many trees breakers, essentially what it is.
Okay. Any other edits to that paragraph, that second paragraph, besides striking the last sentence?
Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's accurate. Wildfire severity and frequency have contributed to vegetative loss and slope. That's an accurate statement.
Yep.
What caused the increase in wildfires is what's at odds.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and hot political issue here, but landslides aren't really what's causing increased turbidity in our rivers right now. I mean, obviously the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the dams coming out. I mean, that has caused the most turbidity I've ever seen in my almost 30 years of being in Siskiyou County. But I would look at that, and usually the turbidity we see, and this is in the increased sediment loads in rivers caused by landslides, it's not necessarily landslides, it's high peak flows with erosion of our stream banks, and I wouldn't necessarily consider that as like a mass wasting event, you know.
Do you feel it's necessary to maintain that discussion in the landslide section, or remove it in its entirety?
No, I mean, I...
Landslides, they contribute.
They contribute, but
won't,
I don't
won't
think
argue,
major.
We won't argue that.
Okay.
Some landslides are natural processing due to our terrain. Some are a result of humans. Others, hey, you have a catastrophic wildfire where you can't get stable soil again. You have snow, rain on snow event. I used, you know, after the South Fork and the Fox Fire, you know, I thought that was bad turbidity when I could smell that winter when the fall rains came and the river was flowing black. I thought that was bad, but it only lasted for a few days. Then I saw what happened just north of here. I'm like, whew, that turbidity we had from that fire was nothing compared to what just happened down there.
Yeah.
So it's all in context.
But I think there could be tweaks to the description to balance out the discussion. So it's
that's all we're asking. Yep. Yeah.
I think you will find the public conversation when this goes out to the communities to be more friendly and less combative with a few tweaks.
And that's what we're after, right?
Sure.
You know, so especially, yeah.
One other question before we move past 9-3. Okay, there's not a page, so let me see here. So this is SAF 12. On SAF 11,
okay.
it's the figure 9-2 landslide susceptibility.
Yes.
We're still on.
Where this information. And this color map, where did this color map come from?
If we scroll back down to the bottom of the map, there should be a data source.
It says CGS map sheet 2018.
I assume that's Geological Service, but yeah, that was my question is, you know, is it a combination of soil type and slope?
Mm-hmm. Because maybe it's accurate, but if you look up the French Creek drainage.
That's missing.
I would really expect that to be a 9, not a 7 with some 8 intermixed. That is a highly granitic landscape.
Yeah, it's all
which
DG.
Which naturally sloughs continuously, tons.
And what, I mean, in this instance, I mean, the map is prepared on the data that is technically mapped. What we can do is work with RINCON to go back and check the methodology of how they came up with this.
Okay.
See if there's something more updated. If this is the most updated map, we don't have the ability to tweak it.
Gotcha.
But there is always the opportunity in the discussion
to
expand upon it, is what you're mentioning.
Yeah, there are just a few of these drainages that I know are high granitic. And it's a natural slougher, and they contribute tons. It's just the soil type.
And that could be noted, and it could be noted in the text, like on the ground conditions expand upon beyond what's not shown on the map.
Okay.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
I have some documentation on where this data came from, if you'd like for me to put it on the screen.
That'd be, sure.
All right.
Because I know the Siskiyou RCD, I think Sari Sommerstrom was actually very instrumental when they did the original French Creek watershed work group and collected a bunch of data on Little North Fork, French, and Minor. Once again, DOC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might reach out to Sari Sommerstrom. She would be a good good source that she might be able to help you specifically with that system.
That's what it says.
Because I know we're going to be having a project sooner rather than later in that area, which this is a relevant topic because of the type of soils.
I think it's important, actually, in that first paragraph on the summary to understand the last two sentences on there. And it says this landslide susceptibility map is intended to provide infrastructure owners, emergency planners, and the public with a general overview of where they're more likely to occur, but not of potential at any specific location.
Right.
So that's important. Looks like it was updated in 2010.
Okay.
And looks like it's not planned to be updated on the side under details.
All right.
But we can update, we can add some additional local contact information.
Okay, we're on to 9.4 now, Dusty. Do you have questions on 9.4?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I thought we'd moved.
Yeah, and I would just say severe weather. If you don't mind me just, I'm always.
Well, history of events is lacking.
Well, I was going to go with the very first paragraph.
Okay.
So my suggestion on 9.4, the very first sentence, California is susceptible to dry periods and times of extended drought are likely to occur in the future. That's an absolute because we're a Mediterranean climate, and I think we just need to state that off the bat. Like, this is typical for our type of climate, right? We have a drought every 7 to 10 years. That's how it's been. That's how it's always going to be.
Okay.
So I would state that, you know, just because we're talking to the public and they may not understand that as a Mediterranean climate, that's just part of our natural regime.
Okay.
So my suggestion.
And would you like us still, I'm assuming the renaming of drought is getting carried over into this section based on our conversation earlier? The discussion was man-made and natural?
Yes.
Yeah.
And should there be a discussion in here on the difference between both?
I think that would be healthy because we know going forward in the next 30 years that, yeah, very likely we're going to have the state come up with a number of how much water they want to see in every tributary and every river. And it is directly going to limit available water for other activities, whether it be ag, whether it be health and human safety, whether it be for consumption,
recreation,
run down the list, it's going to have an impact in planning.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that rule where it limits the amount of water per household?
Oh, yeah. While she's looking at that, the history of events. When I see the word history, and then I look and I see the oldest date in the history of events is in the 2000s, to me that's not a history of events.
It's recent trends, right?
Well, so if we want to talk history of events, we had a 2-year back-to-back, 77-78. We had a 2-year back-to-back, 62-63. What happened in 64? A flood. What happened in 79? A flood. We'll have back-to-back dry spells, and we'll have a flood.
Okay.
We have a high water event. It is all part of a cycle. Siskiyou County has experienced this for eons. Sometimes we get a couple of them in a decade, and sometimes we get a couple in 2 decades. We had a real bad one that went from 1930 to 1934.
Okay.
It was terrible drought. But then we had high water events in 35, 36, and 37. Do we go through cycles? Yes. Does the weather change? Yes. What causes it? That's where we're, you know, I probably disagree with other people. It's part of the process.
Okay.
I have a hard time when we start cherry picking a couple dates as a history. If we're going to talk history, let's talk history.
Okay.
Well, if they're extended drought, they're talking 2 years. Then we end up having wet years. Extended drought to me would be 40 plus years.
Oh.
I think I read somewhere that we were on a 1,200 year drought cycle.
It depends where you go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it can talk.
But to be more specific, when we had the last curtailment 2 years ago by the state, Scott Valley was not in a state of drought. Our water table had dropped a whopping 18 inches. Ooh. Wells were going dry back in 77 and 78. The river went dry and we were having to dig holes in the river hoping we'd find water. That was a drought. 2 years ago was an average year for Scott Valley. Was it for other areas of the county? Maybe not.
Okay.
So we've got to be careful when we assign a term for the county as opposed to geographic areas.
Okay.
Yeah, the existing future conditions, that first sentence, I don't expect them to worsen. They're going to continue to come and go. Do we need to be prepared for when we are low? Yes. But respectively, we need to be just as prepared for when we have the main precipitation event that caused the state of emergency for McLeod back in 92. When we had the major temperature cold spell back in 1990 in Tule Lake. We had a month where we didn't warm up above 29 degrees. Has it happened since? No. But heck, there was what, 17, 18 foot of snow in the city of McLeod back in 92 or 93?
Yeah, and my question on there too is, you know, with the, I agree with him, but with this data, there's no source like on how these expected increases are derived?
I'll tell you. Probably DOC.
Really?
I'll guarantee you it's coming from DOC.
Okay. So it sounds like that first sentence, the expectation is that weather will continue to be volatile, not that drought will continue to get worse.
It's like we're going to see changes.
Okay.
The general plan will prepare the county to be ready for times of drought and times of flood, times of plenty, times of not.
Gotcha.
That's out of my full whack there.
What?
Oh, rock falls and avalanches. That's for Tony, and he's not here. He's the Mount Shasta person. Okay, so this is where FEMA is referenced in the flooding. Mm-hmm. And you said we have new data for Scott Valley available now.
Yep, I believe this upcoming board meeting on the 21st, the FEMA folks will be presenting the updated maps to the public for a hearing.
Okay.
And then I think also to the city council for Edmund Fortunes.
21st of?
This month, next week, this month, May.
Oh.
Yeah, I made one of those poor guys mess his pants. He came onto our place without checking in with me first.
Oh gosh.
He went he darn near passed out. I know he soiled his chonies. His partner was very apologetic. They got permission before they came the next day.
Yeah, good.
No, I see two people coming up the river.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, let's just say they were approached aggressively. Because it wasn't a month earlier, I'd helped CDFW catch two poachers out of that river, and I flushed them out of the river right into the hands of the... I had them running. Not FEMA guys. The FEMA guys, they just froze.
Right.
So now this, the dam hazard potential, really all this is going to pertain to now would be what, Dwinnell and the reservoir on Lake Siskiyou? Are those our only two active now? Because the last one on the Klamath is actually in Oregon.
McLeod.
Right.
Oh, for McLeod Reservoir. So we have three dams that this now would still apply to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Bucks Canyon.
That's the one on Lake Siskiyou, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I'll let you go. I don't have any questions until we get to 9.7 fire hazards.
This is... okay, this... no, I guess it wouldn't... quick rabbit hole detour back to PFSI.
Which page, please?
Back to public facilities. I'm just general. Doing a quick detour because it hit me now that we're talking about dams and lakes, storage, etc. Coming back to the GSPs again, we need to make sure that we include in public, they wouldn't necessarily be public facility service, it would be services possibly, but definitely infrastructure, the potential creation of water storage facilities in Scott Valley. And once again, I'll refer to the Scott GSP. We need to be able to pull that in so that the plans to meet that GSP through that GSA are not left out of the general plan and are don't become at odds with the general plan that's approved because of desired infrastructure improvements for water retention facilities in the Scott. So that's the detour to make a note.
Okay.
It's kind of linked with safety hazards, but also infrastructure. Not sure where it best fits, but...
But being aware of their plans so that we're planning consistently.
Yep, yep.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm in 9-7 now.
Okay. So, through the chair, can I go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, 9.7, first paragraph. It says, climate and landscape characteristics are among the most important factors influencing wildfire hazard levels. It's fuels. It's fuels.
Gotcha.
Because we can mitigate by changing the arrangement of the fuels. We can mitigate how it behaves on the landscape. So it's fuels. That just needs to change.
Gotcha.
Now, they are right that wind, temperature, humidity affect potential for fire. That's correct. Wind is the dominant factor in spreading fire. I would strike the last sentence. These weather conditions will likely in intensity the impacts of climate change and with it increase the likelihood of wildfires. The big driving force again is fuels.
Gotcha.
I can't stress that enough. the other landscape characteristics on our fires that's not mentioned is access to the fire, road systems.
Okay.
So there was a big push, especially in the 90s, early 2000s, to decommission roads. They're all being opened back up because you can't fight a fire if you can't get to the fire.
Okay.
And the reality is here in Siskiyou County, when Central or Southern California is on fire, all of our fire resources head south. We don't get air tankers. We're fighting until those fires are put out. Our support, maybe a helicopter here and there. Even our fire crews go down south. So we are really limited. So within Siskiyou County, road systems definitely affect access with fighting fire.
Okay.
Reminded me of something else on PFSI.
Yeah, because that's not one thing we've mentioned, and a lot of people don't know. But like for instance, our managed lands and a lot of the timber lands in Siskiyou County, rather it's federal or private, we shut our forest access down. So like a lot of the lands that we manage, we allow public access, foot. But when the fire hazard rating gets to a certain level and we watch the amount of fire resources that are within our county, when we get down to like one fire engine, because all of our engines have gone to fight fire in other counties, things get shut down.
Okay.
So, I don't think a lot of people realize that, yes, we have all this fire personnel, but that doesn't mean they're fighting fire in Siskiyou County. They're statewide entities.
Right.
And they leave.
Okay.
So just to point that out, just for food for thought if it comes up. But,
sure.
it definitely affects Siskiyou County and how we fight fire, because like I know like on the river complex, you know, we had five dozers on a 150, 200,000 acre fire. And 300 people not fighting it. That was it. Which, that is hardly any. Yes, I'm on a pause.
Gonna get the same comment that I gave before on history of events. If we're gonna have a dialogue or a discussion over the past 10 years, the map does reflect 1900 through 2000 for incidents occurring. Yes, a couple of these have been over 100,000 acres in the last 20 years. We've had multiple 100 plus thousand acre fires in the 90s, in the 80s. We could probably should bring some of that discussion also.
Okay.
So it's not my impression. Is we're looking at basically the last 20 years. If we're talking history of fire behavior or drought or flood, we've got to go back. If we're going to discuss this area of time, let's discuss what has happened over history.
Agreed.
Yeah. Then just to save disgruntled feedback to you all on the figure 9.7 wildfire history map, you really ought to have Happy Camp noted as a city on that map. They've been in the heart of hell.
Okay.
Literally.
Yeah. Make sure they're on the map.
Sure. Put the dot, this is where Happy Camp's located. Because right now, where a lot of that fire activity and intensity has been, is where Happy Camp is.
Yeah, they're surrounded.
It's not like nobody lives out there. You have a thriving community of people there who can do
help.
Okay.
Can I go back to history?
Yep.
Okay. So, back on history of events, a fire on the SAF 22, that second paragraph, over the past 10 years, large fires have caused significant damage to millions of acres of wildland in several Siskiyou County communities. Have we really burned millions of acres in Siskiyou County? I know it's hundreds of thousands. And obviously...
Oh, yeah. If you're talking from 1900 to now?
No, in 10 years.
A million acres in 10 years?
I don't think we've gotten there.
Yeah, that seems high.
Yeah, I don't think we've gotten there. Millions of acres in California. Yeah. I'll give you that. But in the last 10 years in Siskiyou, I think we're in the hundreds of thousands.
We might be around 600,000.
Yeah, but I don't think we're in the millions yet.
Okay.
But I would double check that.
We will. Absolutely.
I should say yet. Knock on some wood. I just want to point that out. Everything else is fine.
I will jump in.
I don't see the antelope fires.
No, it's not mentioned.
So we also had the lava fire, the antelope fire, that should be mentioned.
Don't forget our little Horn Lane fire at Rick Barnes.
Yeah, those are large ones. It was because we focused on the Klamath, the Happy Camp, but we've had large, like the antelope fire was significant out of Tennant.
Yeah.
You know, that community was devastated by it. And those were all 2021 fires. You might want to check into.
Okay, definitely. We can add to that section.
Did you want perhaps to have like a table of the fires and the structures and acres burned in the past 10 years?
That would be perfect.
We have that in our housing element. Right?
Yeah.
So why don't we get that? Why don't we get that? That'd be perfect.
Thank you.
Good call, Rachel. You are on the ball today.
Yeah.
All kinds of good ideas.
Just a personal tweak. On SAF 24, second paragraph down, and this is in the existing and future development, I get how devastating the 2018 campfire in Butte County was. This is a Siskiyou County general plan. We had several fires, just as devastating, particularly for the city of Weed. Let's use a Siskiyou County fire as the discussion point and the reference.
Absolutely. Sure.
I get that, you know, some things changed after that campfire, but things are continuing to change because of the Bowl fire. Start listing them off here in our own county. Let's talk, this is personal to us in Siskiyou.
Sure.
Park goes out to Butte. I just drove through Greenville, and I'll tell you what, that still is so depressing, driving down there on the way to Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
The devastation is just, if you haven't been out to see that, you need to.
On the southeast side of
miles
after miles.
Tragic.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give you guys kudos, existing and future development. Whoever wrote that did a really good job.
It was a different person than the other stuff.
Yeah. It's a different tone. They get it.
Yeah.
They even say fire is a function of temperature, wind, and fuels, which it is. And then it talks about, reducing fuel loading and hardening structures. That is key. So that I'm really glad to see that in there, and I don't have any changes. I think that's great.
That person needs to write the earlier stuff in this section.
Yeah, that was really good.
Who knows, whoever that was.
I will, absolutely.
Yeah, that's all really good. And even, you know, they talk about overstocked forests, insect disease, and stress of trees. Inadequate. I mean, they get every every mark.
So in the hazardous materials site, I think we need to note Siskiyou County used to have a hazardous materials site. No longer do we. Am I correct, or has that been rectified with North Coast Water Regional Quality Control Board?
Jumping in the middle of this,
we just started this
site. What are you speaking of?
To take materials, and I'm using the term very broadly, where we used to have a site where Duane Eastlake with the porta potty rental in Fort Jones and the Wairika guy could go dump.
No, that was open. That was an open pit.
But it was a location to dump. Now, we do not have a site to dump, and they have to take it all the way to Shasta County, or is it to Hamer County?
Yeah, it's just outside of
Anderson. And so that, for background information, county used to have, no longer has. Because it has to be transported such a far distance, it creates limitations on planning and development. That needs to be mentioned in this section.
Okay. And the terminology for that would be a septic receiving facility. It's classified as a hazardous material, even though drinking for hazardous.
Wasn't Wairika taking that for some time? Did they accept the sewage?
No.
Never did?
I could not convince them to do that.
That's my next question.
Because I don't see it.
No.
So you didn't pay enough.
So then that leads in, because that site was closed and is being reclaimed.
Has been reclaimed.
What is that site now used for?
Agriculture.
And where are we taking and destroying illegal happy grass?
We're
real close to the site that got closed down for human waste.
Yeah.
And that is a concern, because to me, that is a more hazardous material because of the pesticides and herbicides that have been used on them.
Illegal.
Yeah, illegal chemicals that have been used on that. that are now being taken to a site that was closed down for getting rid of human waste, we're now taking illegal crop grown with illegal chemicals going to a site and being burned. And so that's part of the background information. We don't have a facility to properly dispose of products that are very likely toxic.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, I think that needs to be in this section. I get human waste may not be a hazard, but California considers it a biohazard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it is an existing condition.
Yes.
Terminology, so as you all know, we do not have a landfill in our county. Everything is transported out. So basic hazardous materials, asbestos, any kind of fuels, we don't have a receiving facility for that.
Okay.
So it's all going to directly landfill.
Okay. So no, not even motor oil and.
Yeah, we have recycling for.
Okay.
Tires.
I certainly see how that could be added. I mean, if you're trucking hazardous materials further because you don't have, then.
Yeah.
It's a hazard while it's in transport.
Correct. But it needs to be in the background, I think.
Sure.
Because it is a limiting factor as we talk about planning, growth, and development.
Sure. No disposal site. It's appropriate. Got it.
Okay.
Are we on to NTRS, noise, traffic, railroad, stationary? Oh, you jumped way ahead. Okay.
You're on noise? Night. Oh, got it.
So.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have. Maybe it's for Rick, Haley, and Rachel. This noise section, 9.9, I get we need to have it in the general plan. No argument there.
Yeah.
My question is specifically to the discussion and the potential impact of rail, because I know there is a concerted effort going right now to try to get this spur either here in Yreka at the old rail spot or even in Montague reopened in order to be able to get soil amendments in here in bulk so we don't have to go to Portland and down to Stockton with semi trucks and then drive it up here, and also the ability to deliver hay and grain to a site here in Siskiyou County and get it to catch the rail to go to Portland or to Stockton because of driving restrictions, time on the road, and we've got to get that wheat to that port by a certain time and a bunch of it. There aren't enough independent truckers to do it anymore. Likewise, when we need to put urea or sulfur or whatever on our fields, we need a bunch of it in short order. Usually everybody in Shasta, Scott, Butte, and Thule need it at the same time.
Yeah.
We don't have enough independent truckers to get that much material up here when we need it because the rail is shut down. Is, understanding this is a noise portion, should we also have the lack of a rail spur as a limiting factor on growth and development within the general plan?
For sure, yeah. Especially future speaking, right? Because that infrastructure's obviously shrunk by half easily for our service to our county. As it pertains to noise, you know, we're going to need to update our whole noise section.
And so therein comes a question. When you're talking rail, I get trains make noise, but the tracks were all put in before most of the homes that currently are there were.
Okay.
And a good chunk of the homes along the rail were put there because the rail was there.
Yeah.
So is it really noise as a limiting factor. Mm-hmm. I would make the argument that the rail, no.
Right.
If you build your house next to I-5, I-5 was there before you built your house. And I get we need to address potential noise issues, but I think of noise being more the stationary type if we're putting in a batch plant, a rock crusher.
Right.
Something we do with a use permit, mm-hmm. as opposed to an existing highway, an existing mm-hmm. rail, an existing airport.
Yeah.
So I think we need to delineate mm-hmm. as it affects our potential planning and development.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yep.
So in the fourth paragraph down, talks about, you know, the railroads. It talks about halfway down after 60-65 DBA. It says the county is also home to the McLeod River Railroad and the Wairika Western Railroad, which operate daily round trips. They're closed.
Yeah,
are they?
They've been
permanently
down.
Closed for
oh, well.
Long time.
The Wairika Western is one of the spurs we're trying to get reopened.
Okay.
But for commerce.
Yeah. And the McLeod River Railroad has been closed.
Yeah.
Like the tracks are even pulled.
Yeah.
A lot of the line is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Railroad ties are piled on the side for the public's taking.
It's very expensive to rehabilitate one of the railroads.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Huge cost.
Yes. Let's see.
Are we to 910? Oh, we're to 910. So on 910, the air quality, you said Mr. Jim Smith did have this to look at.
Yep.
He doesn't have the time to do it. I would really like he or Jody to take a look at this before too long.
Yeah.
It has to do, so Jim just came and spoke at our last Farm Bureau meeting, and Siskiyou County, I'm trying to remember when the data, I think the data was for last year, had the cleanest air in the state of California, and it's simply because of the way the atmosphere works up here and air movement. But obviously during the last 2 years ago, the big fire down Happy Camp, the Klamath, particularly Happy Camp community, was the worst air quality ever recorded, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And which is why the Assembly Bill and Senate Bill are working through Sacramento to actually get some numbers on air quality and health in communities that are being confronted with regular catastrophic wildfire. But I would really like Jim and Jody to go through this.
Okay.
I know they're short on time because they're going in every which direction.
Right.
But I think they could contribute to the language of this to accurately reflect the county.
Great.
And then the other thing, and I understand this is current for baseline, but just putting it out there for knowledge base for future, the standards are going to be changing for the air quality. So just as a, you'll be talking to Mr. Smith, but it's really going to impact how we can burn and when we can burn.
Okay.
Even more so than what we're already dealing with. And then
that climate change word again in that paragraph right before 911, this is a different person than did the wildfire section. That person needs to come down here and rewrite this. Same comment on that.
Just strike it. And it reads fine without it.
Yes.
Like that whole sentence. Like everything else is great. Just because it, and it's almost duplicative. Increased smoke levels as a result of heightened risk of wildfire could continue to worsen health effects for at-risk communities. And we know that in Siskiyou County. Actually, I think the first time we met you and we had the the county and the commission in here, we couldn't even see across the street. So
basically, from the word climate to the before frequency, strike it and simply start the sentence, frequency and severity of wildfires will continue to exacerbate air quality levels throughout Siskiyou County.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now we get to our favorite one.
Water quality.
No, greenhouse gas. I get we have to have it, right? It's a section required by the state.
Yeah.
Okay. The state realizes if we eliminate all the CO2 that our plants die. Basic science.
Well, and if you look at the science, we need to everything that China and India are doing makes our contributions moot.
Yep.
And 912, I just...
Through the chair?
Yes.
Before we go on to 912, I think for the consultants, one missing element from the greenhouse gas emissions is the 300,000 plus acres of decaying trees from the wildfires. It talks about the smoke, but it's talked about the actual breakdown decay of the dead tree material.
Right.
Which is a lot.
Carbon release.
Okay. Probably.
As well as methane.
Exceeds everything else on this list.
Yeah. Okay.
So that needs to be looked at.
Thank you, Rick.
And then, I dealing with State Water Board and other agencies, I like to look at ways to use their argument for their own demise. And one of those in this dealing with greenhouse gas, and the key part, you have emissions inventory, and there are forecasts, and then it has end reductions. What is left out of the reductions is that healthy forests and healthy agriculture reduces sequesters greenhouse gases. If we're going to talk about fire and residual fire contributing and people on I-5 driving through contributing, we need to give the same attention to a healthy forest, timber, ranching, and farming environment that sequesters.
Okay.
And with more onerous regulation, government-caused drought, that limits the ability to sequester what we're trying to prevent.
Okay.
And to that sequestration, there's an effort with a lot of our fires. There's, you know, thousands and thousands of acres of reforestation happening in Siskiyou County. And, you know, I can get you in touch with the folks doing that work. But there's methodology that we have to do in our planning that talks about how much carbon is being sequestered with that.
Okay. But,
yeah. Great.
912 was not the same person that wrote the wildfire. That person needs to go through here. This projection of climate change related impacts, maximum day temperature is above 91. We had days over 100 back in the 40s, in the 20s, in the 70s. Days over 91 degrees, big whoop-de-doo. I think they're taking a snapshot of maybe a California average. I do not believe this is accurate for Siskiyou County unless it is being taken for one or two limited weather stations.
Yeah.
It's just not, if we're going to use data, let's make sure it's accurate and not a site specific for one or two locations in the county. What is the county average?
Okay.
Yeah. And then also in that section, the very last paragraph talks about annual burn projections by over 50,000 acres. I do agree that's going to happen. I don't think it's all going to be a catastrophic wildfire. There's PBAs, which are like putting fire back on the landscape. So I don't think all of that fire is going to come in catastrophic wildfire. A lot of it's going to be prescribed.
And it hopefully will be greater than 50,000 acres. We just met with Cal Fire in our Farm Bureau meeting also. And we're partnering with them to, we're shooting to get at least 100,000 acres a year prescribed burned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really trying to clean stuff up, so.
I just think that needs to be reworked. I would strike the last part.
Yeah.
The average projector annual burned areas projection increase, not because of climate, but because of mitigation.
Yes.
Fuels,
prescribed
management,
and
we're trying to get ahead of it, and especially in Siskiyou County, I think we're going to be really proactive. Our federal agencies have been doing a lot of burning, as well as the state agencies now. Our Cal Fire is really getting involved with burning.
In fact, I would venture we've already burned more than 50,000 acres since the first of this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Easily.
And
25 of that's been in Scott Valley.
And a contact for you guys at Cal Fire would be Jeremy Ravenscroft, if you know him.
Yep.
If you know him, he'll be able to give you the Cal Fire plans for Siskiyou County for burning. And then
Seth, what's Seth's last name? Seth's the one that came and talked to us. Seth.
Got it. Let's see.
Not Rove. Rove is.
Oh, Greg Roth. Well, but Greg would be able to, too.
Greg would.
Yeah.
He'll be able to, too. But, so I think that needs to, this whole, can we just start over with 9.12?
Get the person who wrote wildfire to reword that. Whoever wrote that.
Whoever wrote the wildfire section?
We sent great kudos to, and they need to look at the rest of this and use their tone and language.
For 9.12.
It may not have gone far enough. Okay, yeah, missing. Oh, no. You have it. You broke Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District separate from the Siskiyou County Ag Department. It's under Siskiyou County Ag.
Okay.
But that's fine. That's fine. That's why I wasn't seeing it.
Okay. We are on
hydrology and water quality.
Okay.
Why are you smirking?
I'm going to let Brett take this one so I can run to the restroom.
Well, because we're on the second to the last of your slides that you thought you'd be done in 10 minutes.
Okay. I think this actually is the last chapter.
Yes.
We're going over.
Last chapter. We've got like a couple more slides after that.
You can spin here.
Easy peasy.
Okay. So, the final chapter that we wanted to go over with the commission is the hydrology and water quality. I will state that this is a unique chapter to the county that'll be put into an element. Not every jurisdiction goes this far into the topic. So, I'm very curious to get feedback from the commission before we have our workshops coming up. So the focus of this looks at water resources, water supply, reliability, and overall quality and management. Surface water, groundwater basins, all of the above. This too was prepared by a subconsultant So some of the more technical questions we'll keep track of and pass those along and then provide responses back via county staff. But available for feedback, and if I can answer anything, I will.
Great.
How curious are you?
Very.
Okay.
Where would you like to start?
Oh, I always start at the beginning. I've got things flagged, and so okay. I'm just kind of scrolling down to see where I have a... Okay, first, on 4, HYD 4, Scott River Watershed. Yes, it's a tributary of the Klamath. Yes, it is 60 miles long. Mm-hmm. No, it does not originate in the Marbles. It originates in the Trinities.
Okay.
It is fed by the Trinities, the Russians, and the Marbles. And the Scott River, since it's talking about the watershed, mm-hmm. In the sentence where it says it's known for its salmon and steelhead,
yes.
I would be specific and say it is known for its coho and chinook. The French, which is part of the Scott, is probably the best. Mm-hmm. It is the most prolific coho producing system in the state of California.
Okay.
The Klamath significant unit, mm-hmm. what is it, over 70% originates from French.
Okay.
So we'll add some positive to this document.
Watersheds for the Scott River, the Sacramento River, the Salmon River, and Shasta River are all in the same 5-mile area in the Trinities.
Yep.
The headwaters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
5 acres, 5 miles.
And I found this interesting. My eastern county, southeastern county, knowledge is not that great, mm-hmm. but the pit actually is in Siskiyou.
Yeah, it's...
The headwater of the pit, are they considering the plateau there just south of Tule Lake where the bug station is when you enter Modoc County? I thought you go up to the top of the plateau, that's the start of the pit.
Yes.
You've got to go uphill, though, before you can go downhill. And last I knew, water only flows downhill. Now, I was curious why the pit was included.
Yeah, that would be a small portion of the pit that hits Siskiyou County.
There is, though.
Lower pit, upper pit.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of the upper pit. Okay, there, the way that the contour. I forgot about the lower. Okay.
Does it need some modification?
No. Looking at the map now, it just struck me as odd because usually take 89 and then cut into Beaver, mm-hmm. New Beaver through Fall River,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take the shortcut to Tule, and I remember I drive up, and then down, and I'm like, wait a minute, the pit's behind me.
Uh-huh.
It feels weird geographically.
And it was referred to a moment ago as lower and upper. Is that...
Yeah, they're...
Does that need to be clarified?
I think the watershed itself is basically considered the Pitt River watershed.
Okay.
They just subdivide it, kind of like the Scott. Mm-hmm. We've got the French, Sugar, Shackelford, Mill. Interesting. Contours. Okay. That's salmon. That's all good.
Hmm.
So
did that happen?
I'm going to go back. Mm-hmm. In the discussion on the Scott River watershed,
okay,
was there a reason why Indian Creek was mentioned and not French, Shackelford, Mill, which are much larger contributors to the Scott? Indian's tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a drop in the bucket compared to French, Shackle, and Mill, even Sugar.
Yeah, and it dries up.
Yeah, it's a femoral. Darn near. Whereas French is year-round, Sugar is year-round, Shackelford disconnects down at the bottom because of the tailings, but Shackelford and Mill flow year-round. Mm-hmm. I would much rather see French, Sugar.
Ones. Okay.
I'd much rather see those other four mentioned before Indian.
Yeah. Wildcat.
Yeah, Wildcat is year-round. And then you've got South Fork and East Fork, but technically that's Scott.
And you said Sugar Creek?
Yeah. But Sugar, French, Mill, and Shackelford.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
And we have those noted, so we'll add those in.
Okay. So I'm on page 9.
I gotta catch up to you then.
I'm just right after.
So on this, you know what? We need to take another break. Dusty just reminded me. We'll take 5 minutes.